Hey y'all, just a major, just a small update.
Y'all ready for a shameless plug? Good, because I have something in store for you, man. I have Schmucks post. I have posters for Schmucks, episode 1 and 2. And they're up for only 1 week at chunkrobot.com/psychicpebbles. So you can get them if you want to, they're there if you want. If not, just enjoy the podcast, and please put a smile on that little face today.
Since the dawn of mankind, humans have gazed at the stars and asked themselves questions as the stars gazed back. Why are we here? Are we alone? How will it all end? However, out of all the questions man has asked over the millennia, there remains one that trumps all others. What if a nasally online web animator started a podcast where he shot the shit with a guest for an hour or two while you sat there with your gut hanging out? While most of man's questions remain unanswered, I do have an answer for that last one. Right now, on
Schmucks. Hi everybody, welcome to the new episode of Pedophiles Anonymous. Now don't be fooled, my guest with me
Wait,
is 33.
Wait, what? How did you just introduce me?
No.
I'm not sure that's a good look, dude.
I'm not accusing you of being a pedophile. I'm the anonymous pedophile.
What the fuck? I thought we were just coming to chit-chat. I didn't know this was
to
catch a predator,
you got fucking ambushed. You got ambushed,
I will not have a seat right over there.
I'm asking you to have a seat. I got my pants pulled up nice and high. I want you to have a seat so we can talk about some stuff that I did. I want to tell you about how I'm a monster.
Okay. Oh, that's
I need somebody to talk about, but also publicly about what a fucking piece of shit I am. What a monster I am.
That sounds better.
You know what I done?
Tell me.
I'll tell you what I done right now, right about now. I did fiddle a kid, but not that much.
Just a little touch.
I touched him and I felt real
bad.
His penis and or vagina, I can't remember the details, it receded to him like a snail's eyes. And I said, that's not right, something's off.
So it wasn't that you didn't like the act of molesting a child, you just didn't like their genitals.
Yeah, it startled me, it shocked me. I wonder if this ever happened before.
I think there's someone, I wouldn't be surprised if someone from the FBI actually came to your house as a result of this conversation.
If any men in black knock at my door... Listen, FBI, it's not real. I've said a lot of terrible stuff. Anyways, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to jail at some point.
You're on a list. You're on a couple lists, probably.
It's a meme, like you're on a list now, but I guarantee you I am.
Yeah, well, you guys talk about quite a lot of fucked up shit in the sleepy cabin.
We didn't hold back very much. By the way, just on this topic really quick, and we'll go to the actual thing. Is it an irrational fear that I have? It's not a huge fear, but it's a tiny fear. It's a real one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about it like once every 3 months. I have a fear that I was molested, but I don't remember, that I just like repressed it. But the thing is, there's zero indication that I was ever molested. Like, I didn't have any family friends that were weirdos. I had no Uncle Tim or something, you know? But I have a really weird fear that I was molested at like age 5, but I just repressed it.
That's fascinating. So,
how would you know, right?
Well, I mean, the fact that you're obsessed with it, you're asking, is that unusual? I mean...
No, it's not obsession. I just thought, it's a passing thought when I'm in the shower.
You're sitting there in the shower, you're washing yourself, it's hot, you feel dirty,
yeah.
You're disgusted, you hate yourself.
I'm seeing the dirt hit the drain, bottom of the drain.
Well, how does that affect you? Do you feel like a victim of abuse?
No, I don't know. That's the weird thing. I don't even feel, like, bad, because it didn't happen, probably. But I just wonder, like, what if
what
it did?
Well, dude, if you're repressing memories, what else did you repress, dude?
Maybe I'm not repressing. Maybe I'm open. Maybe I unrepressed the memory that I repressed it. You know, that's even scarier.
You unrepressed it?
No, I didn't repress. I didn't unrepress anything. Don't get me wrong here, but I'm saying, what if I unrepressed the memory of me repressing the memory? What if I know I repressed it and
dude,
that's being
unrepressed? I don't know if there's that many levels to it, dude.
This is Inception 2,
yeah.
Right here. I'm gonna sell the script. The guy gets molested, and he lies himself so much.
That'd be a fun twist on the popular franchise.
That actually be a good M. Night Shyamalan film. It turns just, out he turns out he was molested.
The huge twist is just that he was fucking absolutely
some guy stuck a finger in his ass for like 2 seconds. That was it. But that was the whole movie.
And then they plant this idea in his head that it's okay, and then he becomes a molester.
Then he perpetuates
the cycle. That's Inception.
That's just fucking
too.
Real. That's just real life, man. That's what happens. They just become
Christ. You know what's okay. crazy? I watched this documentary about all these child predators in Hollywood. Man, I can't believe what's going on there, dude.
I would actually be scared to raise a kid here. I really would.
Well, it's like, I don't know how widespread it is, but there's certainly like a lot of predators. They were like these high-level agents, child agents. And they would have parties where they would come fuck these little kids, like, you know, 12, 13 years old boys. And it was like a completely unkept secret in the industry. And the craziest thing is that this guy, Brian Singer, he's the director.
Yeah, the fucking director of X-Men,
like,
right?
He's directed and made so many movies with X-Men and famous actors. And this guy is pretty much all but, like, in terms of having enough evidence to convict him, a known child rapist.
And by the way, he just directed a movie like a year ago or less. He's still doing shit.
No, he just made a huge movie with like with huge actors. Like, here, let me check him out. Like, by the way, Brian Singer, don't sue me. This is just, you know, my opinion.
This is
I can't deal with
this
another lawsuit.
Gossiping.
So, producer, The Usual Suspects, X-Men 2, X-Men Days of Future Past. He's working on a bunch.
He wish he could go to the past when those children were younger. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, Ela, he made Legion. I thought he wasn't on that show.
What's Legion?
No, I made a point to not watch his stuff. And me and Ela were just watching the show Legion on FX.
You endorse a pedophile, man.
Fuck, dude, I thought I
Wall
swear
Street
to God.
Will come and get some of this.
I followed this guy's career just for the purpose of not watching his shit. Fuck
now, what was his role? That was like just a director? Was he just a producer?
Executive producer.
Okay, so that means he probably had a pretty big...
He's involved. There's some kids in the dressing room fucking...
That you paid for. You've directly paid for this man's fucking...
Ugh.
Ugh. You're a monster, Ethan. I was right at the beginning. You're a monster. Yeah. You're second-handedly a monster.
Fuck,
that's fucking, dude. The fact that Jared Fogle, is that his name?
Yeah.
For some reason, that sounded wrong to me. It didn't sound like his real name. That sounds like a fake name to me.
Anyways, well, he's... Yeah, that's
the
him,
fact
all right.
That he got away with it for that long...
And like they caught him so easily, right? This one lady was just like, hey, Jared's a pedophile, I'm gonna fucking ring him up and ask if he wants to fuck some kids. And he immediately gets his dick out, starts jerking off and acting like a fucking weirdo.
It's like a bad Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Yeah.
It's like a bad Roadrunner cartoon. It's like, you fell for it that easy? Also, if you listen to the audio, like her, like a year or two or whatever in of her faking it, she still sounds like she's faking it.
It sounded
really obvious.
Dude, first of all, those recordings, guys, are so disturbing. I honestly can't recommend anyone to listen to them. But if you do, I mean, check them out. They're pretty fucking interesting, to be honest. But if you do, you can hear the disgust in her voice.
That's what I mean. You can tell she's like, oh, she's disgusted. And again, that's like a later call, too. It's not like an early on one. Like a later call.
The fact that Jared was just like, couldn't hear the disgust and was just, he was literally jerking it on the phone as this lady talked about diddling kids, man.
Yeah, what would you let me do to your little daughter?
God, fucking God, Jared. What is with pedophiles? They're everywhere, I feel like, lately.
Can you put that on a shirt? What is with pedophiles? H3H3. Put that on your tombstone.
Just why? I feel like they're everywhere. They're infiltrating, like, every level of society. And, like, in the UK, everyone's a pedophile. Like, Jimmy Savile was a national treasure.
John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, dare I say it, Pizzagate hashtag?
Yeah.
All right, let's not
no comment on that shit. That's too real. But Jimmy Savile... National treasure in the UK. Dude raped like 200 kids. And by the way, who would ever look at Jimmy Savile and not say, oh, that guy's a child rapist?
Also, the guy, the head of Fox News, Roger Ailes, like, did you see the woman's testimony? This woman was like in 1988 or something. She was like, yeah, I was 16. And he asked me to give him papers. It's not funny. I'm not laughing. But this, you'll see why I'm chuckling. The woman was like, oh, yeah, he just asked me to bring him up some shit. And he pulled out his pants and his dick was like red and inflamed and he chased me around his desk.
She testified that his dick was red and in like...
Red and inflamed. And she said he
inflamed?
Chased him... Inflamed. That was the word she used.
Christ.
This big, swollen, fucking, like, pear cock. And this man is chasing her around his desk.
It's bad enough to be, like, raped by an older man, but goddamn, if that's the first
penis... I
don't
even think she was raped. I think she was just chased around and she left, and he was just like, all right, that was that. And he just went out of his fucking day.
He's like, all right, well, and now back to running the world.
Foiled yet again. Just left it alone. It's so weird that you could be that high up and nobody fucking rats on you.
That's not an appropriate hobby. Just go play golf, dude. I don't know what rich people do. Go fucking, buy an island. Don't show kids your inflamed cock.
And chase them around with it, too. Like you're scaring your little sister with something. What? If you're having to chase somebody, first of all, probably... Stop. Probably knock it off from that play. I think it's a pretty good indicator.
Clearly.
If any sexual interaction requires chasing and capture,
yeah.
Probably not very good, Roger Ailes.
Well, anyway, speaking of child rape, what else we got on the roster?
You know what? One thing we could chat about on documentaries, I've been watching for like the last like few weeks. I don't know what it is. I'll just get these weird like impulses to watch. Like binge certain types of documentaries while I work.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one day I felt really weird, but there was one day where I watched like one Columbine documentary on YouTube. It was like 20 minutes long. I was like, oh, that's. I was like, if you really fucking think about it, this ain't too controversial. But Columbine is really weird. It's a really weird event. There's not a lot of like documentaries on it.
Really?
So there's one day where there's only like four. There's probably four Columbine documentaries.
How many were you expecting?
Like 12?
At least 12
Columbine documentaries. Yeah. I feel like I was getting to the pool and I dove in and it was like 2 feet deep and I was like, oh.
Do you feel like each documentary had it? Like, would you watch 12 documentaries about Columbine?
I would watch because each one, it was a little bit different.
Just had a little extra spice.
But I spent like 6 hours and I just watched every Columbine documentary and I felt bad that I craved more Columbine documentaries.
I need more of this shit in my life.
It's so weird if you really like think, it's like the JFK assassination. If you see like one...
That's fascinating.
If you see one thing about that, you're like, I need to see more, but I need to see like more. There's got to be more info.
That shit is fascinating.
This guy's fucking head just came off.
Well, yeah, the Columbine shit is fascinating too in its own way. I hate watching that shit because it makes me feel so bad. I have like
I tremble whenever I watch it. I tremble.
No, it's so horrible. Those kids were so disturbed that it's like, it's just so sobering to be like, God damn, like horrible things happen in this world. I mean. Fuck.
The weirdest thing is this is probably the bottom of the barrel for any person. I felt like I was like an addict digging in the dumpster. But I was just out of curiosity. I was like, I'm just from a fascination standpoint. I just wanted to see more of it. I looked at the transcripts just out of curiosity. And they quote Monty Python at one point. They say, they shoot somebody in the fucking head and they say, one of them says, don't worry, it's only a flesh wound. Or whatever that quote is.
Oh, but, I do remember them saying that. I think that's just like colloquial. I don't know if they're like, "Hey, I'm a huge fan of."
They're Python heads, bro. It's fact.
So do we blame Monty Python?
I was gonna say I read that and I was like, "Holy fuck! Could you imagine? Could you imagine if some guy like took down the One World Trade Center before he did it? He said like, Papa bless."
Oh God!
How fucking nauseous would you feel?
Are you sure they were like actual fans of Monty Python and he wasn't just saying like the? Because that's a very widely used expression.
But this was before the days of the internet, man. That's like you have to watch the movie pretty much. I know it was like kind of a pop culture thing at that point, but
yeah,
they seem like the kind of guys who. Kind of, you know, shut-ins, you know, they seem like the crowd who I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I have such a hard time, like, taking someone who would they're, like, straight psychopaths. Like, they went and they found helpless people and essentially just blew their brains out for the satisfaction of watching them die. Like, it's hard to imagine this person sitting at home and having a chuckle over... Search
well,
for the Holy Grail.
You have to imagine that because that was the way. They probably sat back and they watched Beavis and Butthead or whatever. They laughed at it.
Like, you know what? I think they were playing Doom 3D. I think it was
think
video games. And it was probably Korn they were listening to that polluted their sweet young minds.
Dude, you joke. You say this in jest, but that was like the consensus.
Yeah, I remember.
Until like 5, 6 years ago, that was like a thing. to say that video games cause violence.
I think one of the best things I heard in response to that was like, whatever happened to just being crazy? We always looking for something to blame or some explanation for why the world's fucked up, but it's like, dude, there's no explanation. They're just crazy. We just got to accept that. Stop trying to fix the world. Just some people are crazy, dude, and shit happens.
My point of view is like, if you're a fucking psycho and you love, if you actually want to see people get killed, you'd be attracted to that stuff anyways. But you got to look at the fucking 99% of people who play Doom and didn't shoot up a school and have pipe bombs, you know? Like, of course, those guys... But I think the claim that, like, that caused it, like, that inspired these beautiful Christian boys with their hair parted to be monsters is ridiculous. No, I don't know how anybody fucking didn't, like, point out the obvious holes in that. It was a thing for, like, 20 years, that ideology.
Funnily enough, though, it's interesting because, yeah, like you said, everyone's blaming violent video games, but I feel like since then, games got even more fucked up. But I guess the thing is, people buy that shit, so there's no real way to censor it. Where, like, on YouTube now, everyone's like, oh, everyone's racist, so I'm going to pull the brands. But people
aren't. The equivalent now is video games are sexist, or they cause sexism. That's the thing now.
I guess I think there's probably less hysteria about that, because I do remember back then it was just accepted by anyone over the age of 20 that video games made people psychopaths.
Look, all I'm saying, man, is I just wish that there were more satisfying Columbine documentaries, all right?
I love documentaries. This is like one of the best. A great documentary, so satisfying, isn't it?
I watched one. You ever see the Iceman guy? The mafia hitman?
No, I don't know what that is.
That's actually a really good one. I would recommend to anybody. If you wanted to see it's literally just, I think it's ABC News. Maybe it was 60 Minutes or something. It was one of those fucking things. They sit down with this guy who's in prison. He's been in prison for like 10 years. They did two. They did one in like 1992, and he did one in like 2002.
Hmm.
And he died in like 2005 or 2006 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they sit down and they interview this guy, and he's asking him questions. And in like, with him talking, goes over like footage of like the crime scenes and shit. But he was like some mafia hitman, and both of them are really weird because he's like kind of smiling the whole time, but he's also kind of looks broken up about it.
Hmm.
But there's one part in that documentary where it took me off guard. He's talking about, the narrator's like, the Iceman, because they call him the Iceman because he like would freeze bodies and throw them like 2 years later, but that's how he got found out. They found like ice crystals in a dead body.
Was that like something he was into?
No, it wasn't like a pleasure thing. It was just for like business. It was pure business.
Just business, dude.
That's what makes it business, yeah. Like, that's what makes it.
Why not just throw it off a bridge? I like that, though. It's just business, dude. I keep my bodies in my freezer.
There's one part of the documentary where he's like, yeah, you know, it was Christmas and this guy pissed me off, and I went home. I was thinking about it. I was putting toys together for my children. And I started thinking about it more and more. And I left and I fucking shot the guy in the face. And I came back and continued putting toys together. But it's like a straight up like mafia dude. He talks about, yeah, it's just business. But there's one part of that where it does get weird. Where he does turn like a little bit of a... little of a woohoo, woohoo.
Yeah, sure. You gotta be a little... You gotta have a little of that to go.
He was the nice man was testing out his different weapons of killing. You know, like pans... across the table of like guns and like knives and shit, and he goes, yeah, you know, one time I wanted to see what would happen if I shot a guy in the head with a crossbow. She goes, what happened? He goes, it worked. what the fuck did you think was gonna happen if you shot a guy in the face with a crossbow, dude? There's literally just one outcome there. Hate to spoil you there.
You're into that shit. I remember talking to you and John. You guys love this like people dying subreddit.
It's fascinating. You're talking about watch people die?
Yeah, you guys. I remember you guys, you and John, just sitting around having a good old laugh about watch people die.
You guys were laughing, you were cheering.
I remember you were watching them. You guys were clicking beers, kicking them down.
There was some whistling and knee slapping. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I can't handle that shit. It makes me queasy.
Did you ever have a point though where you'd like? Where you would, like, you know, just, like, for, like, an hour, just watch a couple of those videos, and you go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's awful. And then you don't watch it for, like,
I usually watch one, like, for example, like, these videos of people's, like, legs snapping or, you know, horrible. That's not the worst thing you can see. But anything like that, I'm just like, fuck, dude. I just close it. I feel like I can feel it when I watch that shit, and I X out. I peace out, dude.
I'll do this weird thing. It's not even like an enjoyment thing. I do it out of curiosity, and like it always humbles me a little bit. It takes my ass down a few pegs. Because when you see, I mean, look, I know that's easier said than, you know, it's, if that was me on the other end, I don't know if I'd want people watching me fucking burn alive and scream in Russia, but,
nice,
I don't know, I feel like if you watch it, you get a little more, you feel brought down a little bit more.
Just that, you know, you're also flammable?
I'm also flammable. If you also crush me with a fucking gigantic piece of steel, I will in fact die. My brain activity will in fact cease. But it's not like I watch it every day. Like, probably once every 2 months.
You watch that shit every morning, you sick fuck, with your Cheerios.
I might rub my dick while I watch it.
A cup of coffee, a bowl of Honey Nut, and a man burning alive, dude.
A man's fucking head getting sawed off by ISIS. A little boy shooting. There's a video of an ISIS, a 5-year-old, where ISIS gives him a pistol and makes him shoot a guy in the face.
That's healthy.
Or is that a good, yeah. But I'll tell you this much.
Yeah.
I don't get why on some of these sites there's like porn ads on the sides.
Now, oh, on like the ISIS beheading? See, I've never been to an ISIS beheading site. I'll tell you why. As someone who's been in marketing, I'll tell you why. It's the only ads they can get.
I was going to say, is it that or is it... Because there is like a weird quasi-fetish.
You feel like you want to watch someone get beheaded and then go jerk one out.
I felt conflicted. It's like the full circle. I feel disgusting if, like, you know, God forbid I'm watching one of these videos. I'm so sorry. I'm watching one of these videos of a guy getting knifed in the head. Disgusting, horrible stuff. And then at the sidebar, I'll see a beautiful woman, someone's daughter.
Yeah. It's the full cycle of life, dude. It's life, and it's death and rebirth all in the scope of, you know, 30 minutes. It's a beautiful thing. I do think, though, that no other advertiser in the right mind would put ads next to ISIS beheadings. And the porn guys have absolutely no fucking scruples about it. So it works on all levels, really. God bless them, dude.
Everyone wins. And again, some people have a fetish for that shit. Like, people dying or violence or, like, you know, gore. So it's a win-win.
ISIS should... I mean, that could be a good market for ISIS.
I heard that Coca-Cola's ads were on ISIS videos. Is that true?
Do you know what I saw? There's like, man, there's so many people trying to fuck with YouTube. There's this one guy who's obsessed with like YouTube funding terrorism, and then the Wall Street Journal is obsessed with racism. And apparently, actually, I didn't realize, but the two guys aren't communicating from what I understand. Like this one guy with the copyright, Eric Feinberg, or whatever his name is. Why do these guys always have to be Jewish, by the way? It's like fucking hell. It's like every comment. It's like, goddamn, every time. It's like, dude, just, God.
He's always a Feinberg or a Goldstein. It's like, man, can't it be a fucking Smith for once?
Goddamn, I'd kill for a Smith psychopath for once, dude. Can we just back off? Anyway, this guy, so he's all about ISIS and terrorism, and then the media is all about racism, and together they're really tag teaming YouTube. But I've never seen the ad running on the ISIS. I always saw them on the racist videos, or that was the thing.
The clip. You know what's weird about that, the terrorist one? Did you actually see the video that was in question?
No, I didn't.
It was literally a dude testing out the type of body armor, like the stab-proof, the bulletproof armor that the British police have. He was testing with a basic knife. It was after that stabbing happened like a few weeks ago.
Wait, you're talking about the Swedish guy? The Slingshot channel?
Maybe it was that guy, but the video, the quote-unquote terrorist video, was literally just a dude testing out what police vests, like how good they are.
Oh, you're thinking about the Slingshot channel.
It might be that. Is it the video of the dude stabbing the vest, saying, look,
yeah,
this is why police need to have...
Yeah, Scandinavian guy?
That was the quote-unquote terrorist video. That was the one they were claiming was a terrorist video.
Yeah, that was horrible. I never spoke about that publicly, but I knew that guy was going to be fine because it was just so outrageous and everyone was talking about it. But this Swedish guy called the Slingshot Channel makes really cool content. He just builds like weaponry at home and tests it. That's it. And there was a stabbing in Sweden, so he wanted to test how these stab, you know, proof vests work. And he stabbed it, and that was his video. And some tabloid in the UK, the Daily Beast or something, ran this huge article about how YouTube's funding terrorists. And they did this huge piece about the Slingshot Channel as a terrorist. YouTube removed his video. They gave him a community strike. And he's like, fuck, dude, my channel's going to be shut down by the
Daily
Beast.
What's really fucked up is in that video, he says, this is why you guys need to have better vests. These are not sturdy. These are not good.
Dude.
He's not saying, here's how you fucking stab a cop.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not.
Yeah. The whole thing is crazy. I don't know if it's like, I know there's huge conspiracies about how, like, it's it's traditional media trying to shut down YouTube because it's too effective and they're jealous and they want a piece of the pie and all this. I honestly don't know if it's that. It might be as simple as they just love these hot, sensational stories and they're really sticking right now. Like, it's just, you know, that just seems way more... Either way, it doesn't matter. It's happening.
I would say it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, just objectively speaking, by the numbers, you look at a place like the Wall Street Journal, they're hemorrhaging money like crazy. It's just a fact. So I wouldn't be surprised, to a degree.
The notion of them like coming together in a boardroom, being like, "All right,
I don't think I believe that.
I don't know, but like they obviously are going out of their way to shit on YouTube. That's for sure. But yeah. I just think they want the clicks. They love the clicks.
Like I said, I think it's a little bit of both. In fairness, too, I don't think... Well, I was going to say they wouldn't report on something if there wasn't a story, but that's not really even true. Like the vest guy, that's not really a story. It's just made... But the worst part is, though, this is true. When people write about stuff in the press, it almost always... They have, like, some sort of... I can't remember what it's called, but they have some sort of, like, circle or, like circulation of a story getting passed around. So if the Wall Street Journal writes about something, there's a very, very good chance that the New York Times and
yeah,
you know, go down the list.
When that PewDiePie shit happened, it was on every major publication. It was shocking, man.
And again, I don't think I would chalk that up to collusion per se, but I would definitely say they also didn't write about it. They also didn't like not look into it, you know. Didn't.
The thing that really troubled me about that, I mean, I've talked about this so much, but just something so simple as they accused Felix PewDiePie of doing a Nazi salute, right? They wrote that he was doing a Nazi salute. And everybody fucking reported that, okay? And Felix comes out and he's like, I was just putting my hand off camera. And they took a screenshot and said I was doing a Nazi salute. That's a fucking bullshit, dude. And they never retracted. They never corrected.
They also specifically took... Like, they had to have watched the videos.
That's why I think Felix actually has a really strong case of defamation. Because defamation is not just, like, saying something incorrectly that hurts the reputation. You have to be able to prove that they purposefully did it to misrepresent them and hurt their reputation. It has to be... what's the word, like, what's the word, Ela?
Like, intentional lying.
Yeah, like very intentional, willful lying. So, for example, the fact that they made this compilation and that they looked at all of his videos by evidence that they put this compilation together is, like, one of the best points in favor of Felix suing them for defamation because the proof is right there.
Well, because, like, a second before the footage they cut out takes place, it's him... It's like complete pretext, complete context of him going, "Oh yeah, fuck
right.
What this is, you know, fuck right. Whatever, but, you know." And they took it out of context.
Defamation's
like one of the videos they took out of context was him making fun of the fact that he was being called a Nazi.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean,
that would be like if I called you like a racist and you did a video where you're like, "Oh, time to go burn a cross," and somebody took that footage out and said, "Look, Ethan wants to go burn a cross." It's like, no, that's literally the opposite.
That's. Exactly what happened.
Also, he really seemed to have won that little kerfuffle, I think.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like...
At least PR-wise, I mean, like, the main public, at least.
I'm not sure that's true. I don't agree with you. I mean, on YouTube, everybody knows that's probably bullshit.
Just a bubble thing.
But we're talking about the mainstream media. We're talking about the New York Times, the Washington Post. Every major newspaper ran that shit, and people like my parents and anyone over the age of 30 who doesn't spend time on YouTube, I don't think ever got the record corrected.
That's true. At the same time, though, like that video, his response video, did get like millions of views. So people did. The people who are looking for both sides, it sucks though. It does suck.
What can you do, dude? Shit is crazy. I feel like every the world seems so unstable lately, dude. It's crazy, man.
I'm waiting for it all to fucking implode.
Ay.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. We're going to take a really quick break and hear from our sponsors for a second, because without them, this wouldn't be possible. Thanks.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Cusack from Michael's Cool Hat Emporium. We sell all the best hats, all the cool hats. I have to say first though that there is somebody out there trying to sabotage me. He is selling very cheap, inferior hats. Do not buy from this man is a fraud. He will steal your bank details. It's a very long story, but this man has caused me so much stress over the years and misfortune. He is a sociopath. Do not buy from this man. Buy from me, the real Michael's Cool Hat Emporium. Thank you very much and God bless. Thank you.
You know what? I have a good topic. You know, not a lot of people know. Maybe some people know this, but you were gracious. You and Ela were gracious enough to let me stay with you guys here as I ventured out here to the great old West. So I thank you for that. But I was also with you guys on election night. Now we won't get too much into politics, but I just want to say,
wow, that was a surreal
short story, funny story. I will never forget, I woke up, it was like a Christmas morning day, I woke up at like 9 or 10, and I was like, alright, today's the fucking day, and I remember I looked at the results, it was like super, super early results, and Florida and New Hampshire were both red, and I walked into your guys' office, and I was like, he's gonna fucking win, and then we were like, no, he can't win, because there was a weird thing, you and I were going back and forth, we were going, there'd be days where like, he's gonna fucking be president, dude. And it'll be like, no, he can't.
Well, there was like a feeling in the air. This, I think we were both feeling. It's like, is this gonna happen? I think.
I think we felt it. I think we both felt it for like a majority of the time. But then there's that last. There's like a week period right before the election, like less than a week or a week.
Yeah.
He can't. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, we were like, is this gonna happen? No, this isn't gonna happen. But that night, morning of the election, everyone was like, 99% chance to win Hillary Clinton. So we were hanging out over at Justin's house, just, you know, having some soda pops.
Yeah.
Having a good time. And it was just a fucking landslide the whole time. Not that I really honestly didn't care that much that he won. It was more just the surprise that it was just so unexpected.
At that point, I think the general consensus for everybody there was like nobody voted for him in that room. That house, but the consensus was like, all right, he won fair and square. Let's go.
So, what do you think, Zach? How do you think he's doing now? Now that the cards have been laid out, okay.
I don't think I think a fair way to judge any president is at the end of their term. I don't think that's even too like wishy washy. Like, I think everybody who shadowed Obama, I think they're gonna look back and I think they're gonna realize he did a pretty damn good job. I think that's a fair way to judge anybody's job is to wait till they're done. If the world's still fucking turning. If the U.S. is not a fucking parking lot.
I got to tell you, I saw George Bush on Jimmy Kimmel? And I was like, man, I love this guy. I love George Bush. George Bush. He's got a lot of character.
He's out there, dude.
You know what he's doing? He's like painting. He just made a book of portraits. He's drawing portraits of veterans. And I'm just like, dude, this guy is fucking dope. I want to hang out with George W.
There was a while where he was painting world leaders. He like painted a really strange image of Vladimir Putin.
Hmm.
But a strange, not as in like it was bad. It was just, you know, it's a George Bush painting of fucking Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, it's pretty weird concept.
That's as weird as it gets, yeah.
The thing that I love about George W. was like, that guy caught more shit than possibly any other president. Like, people goofed on him to the most extreme level possible. And that guy took it all with grace and class, man. I remember when he was talking about it on Jimmy Kimmel. And he was just like, it never bothered me. It never bothered me because it's essential and it's necessary to having a healthy democracy. And it's just the way it goes. And I'm like, God bless you, dude. God bless you. George W., you fucking halfwit.
I was going to say, it's weird. If you go back and you watch like debates with that guy, like him doing like presidential debates, he's pretty articulate, but then you watch other shit where he's just a total dummy. I don't understand what his...
I think he's very intelligent. He's just... He probably has some kind of like dyslexia or some shit.
I was
going to
say, he's got to be dyslexia or something.
He's got a little touch of... It makes him sound dumb, but I'm sure he's a very intelligent, well-educated person.
If anybody wants to go have a really good goof from the past, type in George Bush dumb moments on YouTube.
That's a lot of fun.
If you want to jump back to 2006 for a second, there's actually almost all of those clips are genuinely really funny.
Dude, look at this clip, guys. If anyone's out there Googling shit, look up George W. Bush drunk at a wedding.
I don't think I've even seen this. What the hell is this?
He's blasted at his friend's wedding, and he's talking so much shit on the groom. And it's hysterical, dude. I think it was when he was governor of Texas, too.
I was going to say, was this before? So this was before he ran for president.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, because a president is two people. It's like a dude, and it's like the guy who has to run the fucking thing, the whole thing.
Man, I that's one job I would never want. I do not envy the president. That seems like a horrible job.
Would you ever go into politics, Ethan, and make like a... Like, would you ever trumpet or just, you know...
Just trumpet in? I think it would be cool maybe someday to run for public office.
I think you could probably, if you did it right, you could probably win governor of California.
Dude, that would be fucking crazy, man. Dude, just
that would be the funniest shit of all time. Like, fucking all those faces, and like painted faces, and you fucking sucking your chin back.
I'll put on my weed do-rag and vape for my portrait in the capital, the state capital.
That would be a fucking nightmare. Nobody could stop you. If you just like...
Yeah,
if
why
you
not? Did, if Who you, says I have to fucking look nice in my portrait, dude? I'm changing
say,
the
you
game.
Could, they can't fight you. They can't do anything. That's got to be terrifying for like a government.
Well, I tell you, I like the idea of it because there's no transparency in public office anymore. I feel like there's no accountability. There's no transparency. There's no kinship between... For the most part, some people do a great job, but between elected officials and representatives, and I think it would be super cool to hold some kind of office like mayor of LA or governor. That's kind of lofty goal, governor. But just speaking hypothetically, like to get in there and just tell people like what's going on, you know?
Because like, all right, look, the reason we're in the red is because this. All right,
this is happening. Sucks. I can't do this because of this. Most people don't understand. Like. I made this promise on my campaign, but I can't do it because of this, which is what I didn't consider. Just being, like, honest, which is something that... I'm just so sick of, like, the double talk in politics and nobody...
If at least somebody went up there and said, you know what, I promised this, but somebody paid me to not promise that, so I can't do it.
I was paid $1 million by Comcast.
I was paid $5 million. How many of you out there
I just want to be honest.
Would not do this for $5 million? Raise your fucking hand. That's what I thought.
Dude, if you're a governor and you take money to do that, man, you're a special place in hell for you.
That's why I think you should only run for office if you're... I mean,
like,
not
if
rich,
you
but
getting
like,
into government to make money, you are a... Oof, man, I do not like that person.
I would just say give him... I would almost even say this for the president, too, but just, like, give him longer terms and make it like you can't fucking run again. That's it. It's one time and that's you're out. That way you don't have to worry about, like, getting money down the line.
That's an interesting thought.
So if you're a senator, you can only run fucking once.
I think there just needs to be a... I know they limit the amount people can donate, but it just turns into this crazy marathon where it's, like, elected officials spend, I think, 75 to 90% of their time just raising money for the next election. It is so fucked, dude. Every time someone gets elected and you're like, oh, this is different. This is the person who's going to get into office and tell the truth and, you know, restore transparency. And it never fucking happens. And I'm sure there's a reason, there's good reasons that they learn that we don't know. And I'd like to fucking know what that is and I'd like to be transparent about it. That's like my dream. Yeah. I'd be a shitty governor. I'd be a shitty leader, dude. Fuck, man. I'm lazy as hell, dude. But hey, I'll be honest,
dude. If you were like wealthy enough where you could get in there, I'm sure if you or I ran in like fucking, you know, when we were way older, I think we'd have a pretty good fucking ad campaign. I think we wouldn't have to spend that much money on it.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it would just be. Yeah. I think it's a pretty fair statement. That's not too.
Yeah, no.
Like,
I mean, God,
you
I
clearly
wonder...
know how to market yourself. I don't think it'd be that much. Like if you ran for fucking governor of California today, if you announced that. Like, Brianna Wu, I don't think you know who that is, but it's, like, some fucking, like, Gamergate person from a couple of years ago. Her slogan was, like, I beat the alt-right, and now I'm going to run for governor, or whatever the fuck she's running for.
And
my point
is,
if that, person, can...
I guess who knows, but...
I don't think it's for, like, another year or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. But that said, if that person can make a little bit of a splash with just... with. That, if you announce today, I think people would fucking vote for you.
God, that wouldn't that be so surreal? Yeah,
I think you're almost getting stressed out just thinking about something that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I'm getting worried, dude. I'm like freaking out about it. I gotta quit YouTube. I gotta quit all my shit, dude. I gotta go campaign. I fantasize about it in like 10 years from now.
If it was like 40 or 40, if I was like 45 or 40, I would fucking just be like, you know, I'm just gonna do it. If I win, I'll do it one time. I'll try to fix the books, make them...
I mean, doesn't seem like that hard of a job in a way. Like president, the stakes are way too high. But like governor, it's like, just use your common sense and do what you think's right. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of incompetent fuckheads who are elected to that level, and they just don't... They run the country... Or they run the state to the ground, or the city to the ground. So if they can do it and they go to business, they go to school for this shit. And also, you have assistants below you too.
Yeah, thank God, dude.
Here's plan A, here's plan B, here's plan C.
Yeah, that's, well, I don't know. Would you ever run for public office? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would. Like 10, 15 years, maybe.
What's your dream post?
It would be fun to be like a governor or something, wouldn't it be? Like high enough where it's like, ooh, this is spicy, people, but also
like,
not.
Yes, like governor, like that's kind of a big deal. People like are afraid of you, dude. You're the boss of all the police chiefs and shit.
What are you gonna kill people, Ethan? What do you mean? What are you fantasizing like, about here? You gonna fucking
just make them grovel, dude. Just be like, make them grovel, man. You know, bring the chief in. Just be like, do you know who I am, dude?
What are you doing, fuckhead?
Do you know? Make sure to bring some coffee on your way up. Just make them grovel.
Dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a cigar tent where he would bring in his adversaries and just like we would smoke cigars with them and be like talk business. I think that's what I would do if I was under that high of office. Just have a weird
cigar torture chamber.
Just a cigar. Yeah, dude, I feel genuinely intimidated still when I go into like a business meeting and a guy has like a liquor cabinet behind them. I'm like, what is this? The fucking 50s? What is this?
When they have what?
Like a liquor cabinet, like or booze or something. Have you seen this shit?
Yeah, I've seen that. Some people do have really weird power plays at meetings, which is always so transparent. I hate when people do this. Like,
but it works,
I went to a meeting recently. The guy had this huge chair. He was sitting behind this desk, and then he doesn't have a chair for the guest. He has a little couch on the other side of the room that he makes you sit in. And I walk in, he's like, "Have a seat," and the couch is like, you know, a good 15 feet away from the desk. And I'm like, where do I sit? He's like, oh, on the couch over there. It looks like the children's table on Thanksgiving. And I'm like, dude, this is...
Dude, you gotta admit, if you were in power, that would be a little bit fun. You know what the North Koreans do? They go in, and they would, like, saw off the legs of the South... Like, an inch of the South Koreans, like, tables at that weird, or at the DMZ.
Yeah.
And they saw off the fucking legs a little bit to make them shorter. That weird, like, something... Like I said, what's fucked up, though, is that works. You feel like a piece of shit when the guy's in there with his big desk and you're sitting there like a fucking child at like the kids at the adults table, you feel like a loser.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that for sure. I'm gonna walk around on stilts and I'm gonna make everyone put shoes on their knees and pretend to be fucking little people.
You should make
people.
That campaign promise. Like your desk is like 10 feet in the air with stairs behind it. You have to walk up.
Nobody's allowed to drink coffee but me.
You offer it to him and say, sorry, you're not allowed. You can drink it outside. You can look through the door outside.
No eye contact.
I mean, technically, what stops you from doing that if you're in power? I guess people get mad at you. That's probably about it.
Well, if you're governor, yeah, I don't know if that's grounds for impeachment. If your insistence, like, he doesn't let me look him in the eyes, so I think we should.
You turn like a monster. I guess, but the thing is, you're not making that a law. You're just saying, don't look me in the eyes. It's like a request.
Yeah, I'm just politely asking that you please just don't look me directly in the eyes when I'm speaking to you.
Next time you're talking, so we just go, okay, can you shut up?
And they
do it. Like, most people will just be like, so shocked.
I don't know if you make many friends that way, but it probably does work. Although I don't know if they'll come back a second time.
Once or twice to see what happens to a friend.
You should try next time. Just if you're meeting someone for the first time, just be like, can you please just look at the ground when I'm speaking to you? Just don't look me in the eyes directly.
Don't,
all right.
Don't stop. 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 Can you stop looking at me, please? Just look over there.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Don't look at me, dude. You couldn't do anything. Again, it's not like you're making a law. You're just politely requesting. Like, you could technically do that to, like, a guy at Starbucks. Like, it's not... You don't have to have power to do that.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that and report back. Let us know how does that work
guys,
out
I'm going to run
you.
For governor in 10 years. And one of the things we're going to campaign on is you can't look me in the eyes if I win. Dude, actually, you know what? The reason I thought I would run probably 10 years is because when I walk around here in California, where I live, and I always fucking see these signs that are designed graphically by like a 5-year-old. It's like MS Paint shit, and it says like re-elect Tom Dickinson, and it looks like a fucking disgusting Microsoft Word thing, which I know these guys are like 65 years old, but that's my point. If you just had a really good like sign and a sweet website, you could spend like $1,000 in advertising and fucking be elected pretty easily, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally fucking wrong, but it just...
Yeah, like, try that, dude. It'll be a great, like, documentary social experiment. $1,000 and a programmer. Let's get elected governor.
I'll tell you what, Ethan. If you run, I will be...
You'll make my website?
We'll do it. I'll be an advisor to you, and we'll just fucking run. You should have a budget, too. That'd be really cool.
$1,000, dude. Make it a reality show. Just make a mockery of the whole post. Just $1,000
That
in
would
a dream.
Actually be really cool. If it was like $1,000, that's all you get. You have to like see if you win. I think you could probably do it, honestly.
You know, if I just win, I become governor and I just go back home and start doing YouTube videos like normal, and I just don't even like go to
you
work.
Just fucking neglect the audience. You get
just
impeached.
Don't even go to work, dude. She's like, cool, I won, I did it. Now, anyway, back to YouTube.
And now, it's time for some questions. Okay, so let's just go into it. Now, I'm going to ask every question. You can feel free to, if you don't like a question, you can say, oh my god, I actually puked a little bit right there.
I could say that? Sure, I'll replicate that.
All right, so anytime you don't answer a question, I'll just play back that audio.
Puke in my mouth a little bit. Great.
Yeah. All right. Johnny Onifol asks, do you still talk with Humongous? Is he doing well?
Oh, dude, Humongous is the best. Speaking of public office, you know he's running for city council in Seattle.
Holy fuck. And well, if you're in Seattle, vote for him.
I swear to God he's going to win, too. Here's the thing. Humongous is the greatest guy. He texts me, he checks in. He's like my second dad. He's like, he's Uncle Hugh to me.
He seems like a genuinely sweet guy.
He really is such a great guy. Like, that guy received something like $150,000. Dude still drives his same shitty truck. He's still out on the streets blowing leaves. I mean, this guy is a real salt of the earth. Salt of the earth, dude.
Doesn't he have a giant-ass whale in his car or something?
Yeah, that was a strange one. He had this whale. That's a weird one, dude. I don't even know how to approach that. But he was trying to sling this weird whale when shit was tight. And
is there an image of that online somewhere? Is that like that's not private info, is it?
No, it's not private info. He told me that story because I was like, what's with the fucking whale? Because people kept snapping photos of Humongous around Seattle with like a Shamu replica in the back of his truck. It's just bizarre sight. Apparently, it's used. The explanation is interesting. It's used to scare off sea lions from destroying endangered habitats off the coast.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a scarecrow in a way, where they put it to protect, like...
Does that work?
Yeah, apparently it works. And that thing was in the water for like 5 years, and they retired it, and somehow Humongous got his hands on it, of all people.
It somehow.
And he's trying to sling it, man, but, you know... Times were tough, dude. But now he's killing it, dude.
Well, applause. Golf clap to Humongous for being a good boy. All right. James McGuides asks, repeating the question I asked John, but it applies here as well. If you could each instantly have any job in the world, are there any that would make you quit YouTube to pursue?
Any job in the world?
Like, if Gosh Almighty came down with his big pearly blues looking at you, batting his big eyelashes around, and said, Ethan, my son, I will give you any job right now that you could ever dream of.
CEO of Papa John.
You'd actually do that.
Yep. If I could take over West Coast Customs and work with DMX, or Exhibit, to make custom cars.
That's an interesting one. I didn't know that side of you. That's genuinely something new. Oi Slayerburger, is it Ol or Oi? I'm fucking blind as a bat.
What's that name? What's the last name?
Ol Slayerburger.
Slamburger?
Slayerburger, dude.
Hell yeah. I like this guy.
If I saw a restaurant called Slamburger, dude, you need to open a Slamburger restaurant chain right now.
Shit, that's a fucking good name.
His question is, what are some outlets you might trust for news? One of mine, for example, is Secular Talk.
Honestly, I don't really read the news. I'm an ignorant fucking loser. I don't read the news. I don't follow the news. I find that it's depressing. I find that it doesn't. I don't recommend. I'm not endorsing this. I think it's horrible, and I think I'm a very ignorant person. But like, it's just not something that I necessarily always go. I will say I do listen to NPR. I like NPR. I like Morning Edition. I like Weekend Edition. I love talk radio news. But in terms of like, you know. I don't have cable television. I don't have newspapers. I'll put on NPR. That's what I say. I like NPR. Also, there's this really obscure newspaper run in Lebanon that's run by Hezbollah that is really, really good. I think it's called the
I think it's called.
Yeah, I like that one. I like the what was it? Do you remember the name of the paper that Kareem worked for? It's called like In the Oven or something. I don't remember the name of it.
That sounds like a retrospective, like autobiography.
Yeah, it's really great.
Of a Jewish pizza man. Yeah, that's very unbiased. I would say my thing is, I would say try to read all of the news sources. And that's not even a joke. I would say try to read Fox News and CNN. And the truth is always there, somewhere in the middle. I would just say try. If you're going to read one, try to read them all. All right. Hobo Joe Pizza says, "Hey, Ethan and Hila, love your vids. Anyways, what was the scariest experience you guys ever had? Like getting mugged or seeing a neo-Nazi at a theme park? Thanks." Well, I guess let's condense that to what's the most spooked you've ever been?
Most spooked I've ever been. Oh, this is kind of a funny story. When I was a child, I don't know why, but I had this irrational fear of being burglarized, that someone was going to break into the house and like chop off my head, just whatever. Okay. And I had trouble sleeping because I would sit up at night and I would always hear these horrible sounds, and I was always certain that someone was breaking in the house and coming to chop my fucking head off. So I did not sleep well as a child. And one day, the sounds were super intense. I was sure someone was breaking into my house, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get up. I'm going to confront this shit, because I'm always hearing these noises, and I'm like, how can this be happening every night? So I creep out of my bed, and I'm following the source of the sound, and it leads me to my parents' room. I open the door, and it is my dad snoring like hella fucking loud.
I thought that was getting a lot differently than it did.
Yeah, I felt that. I felt like the expectation was going to go somewhere else with that. But it was just my dad snoring. He was snoring so loud that for like 5 years, I thought someone was breaking into the fucking house. And I
lost. You thought somebody was just like breaking in and just like roaming your halls waiting to kill you and just would leave?
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously it didn't happen, but like it didn't give me comfort that it didn't happen, because every day it's like, shit, dude. And this,
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I just had like this image. Kids are fucked up, man. Kids like torture themselves. I had this very vivid image of a man with an axe, because I used to sleep with the blanket up to my neck. He just cut off my fucking head where the blanket ended. And that's just
How old were you when this happened?
Man, I was probably about 10.
So you were 10 years old when that happened. And that seemed like an irrational fear. But when I stayed with you guys a few months ago, when I moved here, like a week before I had come, you had said that like some fans had discovered about where you live, and that's fucking creepy. So you guys had to leave for a couple of days at some point when I was staying there. So it was like 2 or 3 days where I just had the house alone, and that was kind of in my head. I was like, okay, what are the odds that some like psychotic fucking like just maniac decides to kill you guys one night, and they're gonna find my fucking scared ass there instead. And that, because if you break into someone's house to kill them, like Charles Manson style, and they're not there, you're not just going to leave the guy alone.
Yeah,
this irrational fear.
Not irrational, and I was not 10 years old. You were in grave danger. I knew that. That's why I left the house.
You leave me there to kill me, and you guys could come back and return to safety. No one's going to do that twice. So anyways, I was there alone one night. It was like 11 p.m. And I heard a big like boom, 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 boom. It was a couple big sounds. And then I heard a big boom. I heard a huge boom. And I was like, all right. In my head, I wasn't thinking. It was like, somebody definitely kicked in the fucking door. They're coming down the stairs, or they're roaming the house to find where you guys are. And they're going to fucking shoot me or stab me. And I have like escape plans. Like, okay, I need to go through the window.
Dude, your room's fucked up. There's no escape from that shit.
No, that's what's fucked up. Is I had to like so go through the hallway.
You just have like a 30-foot drop.
Exactly. I had to, like, a 30-foot drop or, like, go on a balcony and fucking fall down and break my legs. So I turn the lights off.
You know, if you jumped out, you'd just be, like, tumbling down with broken legs, and he would just calmly walk over and, like, you know.
Yeah. That's what I was fucking thinking about. So what I did was I stood up, I turned the lights off, I pulled my fucking knife that I carry around for self-defense and just opened it. It's a basic knife. Sometimes you need a knife. But I pulled the knife out. And I sat by the door for like 10 minutes waiting. I was like, all right, I might fucking just die today. This is it. I was ready to die. And yeah, you guys were like fucking living it up, having fun. I mean, maybe not fun, but you guys were sleeping peacefully.
We were safe, baby.
You were safe. And I was there with that knife trembling in your fucking home. And then I just ended up going to bed after like an hour of fucking being worried.
Did you ever go out? Like, okay, go out of the room and look upstairs?
Fuck no. What I did
you
was
just
I
went to
the
bed?
Door.
You're so vulnerable.
What I did was I I put shit against the door so in case anybody tried to open it slowly, it would fall over and make a noise.
God.
And I had that knife under my pillow.
So my God, it was that bad? I can't believe that.
I was so sure I was going to fucking die, dude. I was ready to die. I was like, okay. I was like, the cops are going to call Ethan and Heal, and they're like, this guy fucking died at your home. I was like going through my fucking death from a bang I heard.
Did you call anyone? Did you, like, call Nikki and be like, hey, dude, sorry,
no,
this is it?
No, because I was like, he's going to hear me. I was like, you know, I'm just going to be a man. I'm going to be a man and tremble behind the door like a fucking, like a scared animal.
Oh, that's amazing.
Dude, I was a coward. I was a fucking coward. But I did like your idea of it doesn't really translate well to a podcast, but I always loved your reasoning for getting a shotgun for self-defense.
Oh,
just
yeah.
The image of whipping it from your waist to the front of you outside of a doorway.
Dude, shotgun is... Okay, I'm getting a shotgun. Let it be known. Anyone listening to this, I have a fucking shotgun. Now, that sounds dark. Cut that out. Anyway, shotgun is the best because, first of all, you won't shoot through the wall and kill your neighbors. And two, you won't miss that motherfucker, dude.
Now, Ethan, would you shoot a man if he was in your home?
If I locked my door and someone broke in and the alarm's going off and I hear someone walking towards my bedroom and they come to the door and the door's locked and it's closed and I see them trying to get in, I'm shooting whoever comes through that door. And I'll probably say like, hey, I just want to let you know whoever's inside that door, I have a shotgun and I will blast you in the fucking face.
Dude, wouldn't you be worried that they have a gun too and they're gonna shoot through the door and hit you first?
Dude, I have. Do you think I'm not planned for that? I'm gonna crawl. I'm gonna lay prone, they're never gonna expect where I am. It's gonna be a weird place. Here's the trip. I'm gonna have a speaker on the other side, right? I'm gonna talk through it so they think I'm on that side. I have a speaker installed on my floor so I can fuck with people trying to harm me.
Like you're a ghost.
No, I don't have that. But wouldn't that be cool? Just fucking like have like 5 speakers from every angle. Just
dude, that would be overwhelming if you were in somebody's house and you heard like imagine just making demon noises or something. At the very least, they would think you're a maniac.
Yeah, that's that, and you know, half the time that's enough. That's all you need.
Just go. You're gonna die tonight.
Yeah.
You're gonna see demons tonight. I'd fucking run away if that happened. All right, next question from Tom Atkinson. How do you deal with annoying fan interactions? Not everyone can pick up on social cues, and after a while, I'd probably want to break someone's jaw, Jesus, if they didn't get the hint. I think the broader question is, how do you deal with fans? Like, or have you had any negative experiences?
Not really. Everyone's been pretty great, honestly. Pretty, very great, very gracious, very considerate, very nice. I love meeting our fans on the street. They're very nice. I've had maybe 2 negative experiences. One was, we're walking in New York. See this guy across the street. We're about to cross the street. He's smiling at me. So I'm like, he knows who I am. He wants to say hi. So we're about to, you know, we're about to meet in the middle of the street. And I'm like putting out my hand. I'm smiling like, hey, how you doing, dude? Nice to meet you. And he's a big guy. He's probably like 6'3". And he shoulder bumps me super hard. And he says,
welcome back to high school, man.
He says, what's up, faggot? And then he just walked off. He walked off. He didn't even look back. He had this like shit-eating grin on his face. And I was like, what the fuck? That was by far the weirdest and only really bad interaction I've had. The other one was some drunk guy that was kind of obnoxious, but it wasn't really that bad.
What are you going to do about those? When I lived in New York with you and John, you guys, out of all the ones I saw, I don't think I saw any really bad ones. I think
everyone's awesome, man. We've had hundreds of fan interactions, and they're all super sweet. They're all nice-ass fucking people.
It's most of people just going, hey, I love your videos, and they'll walk by.
I'll tell you,
one
thing that kind of annoys me, it doesn't, like, make me rage or anything, but just it's kind of annoying, is when people are like, hey, where do I know you from? Like, who are you?
Oh.
And it's like, if you don't know who I am, why... Just this thing, you need to tell me who you are because I don't know who you are. I know I recognize you. Tell me who are you, dude? It's like, just leave me alone, man, if you don't know who I am. It's just like entitlement.
My theory is I think that might be at least like 20% of those people I think are people who know you who are trying to be coy about it, but it doesn't
come
off.
I don't see the point. Just say what up. Because they're already, like, these people are even more invasive because they're like, tell me everything about you. Who are you?
And impress me. And tell me why I should be impressed by knowing who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's just this sense of entitlement of like, I don't know who you are. You don't owe me anything. I don't even care about you. I just want your time.
I guarantee you 100% of the time, if you tell them who you are, they're going to go, oh, okay, and they're going to walk away. Yeah, it's never like, oh, my God, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if they were fans or cared about you, they would know who you are from the beginning. So they're already, like, not the the tightest people in the world.
That's a good answer. Okay, lightning round. This is really, truly, I'm Costalong asks, where do you see the future of entertainment for both independent online creators and industry professionals? Like, where do you see entertainment going? You see it blending, becoming one thing? You see TV and internet becoming one thing?
I don't know. It's like, I think in 10... It, definitely a lot streaming, a lot online.
Askel asks, how did you, Ethan and Hila meet, or how did you meet Zach? That's two questions. I guess answer either one.
Met Hila in a Holocaust museum in Israel.
There you go. Hunter Gross asks, what dish from Israel or a Jewish... What? What dish from Israel or of Jewish descent should everyone try?
I would definitely recommend mafrum, which is fucking delicious. They take ground beef, season it, and then stuff a potato in it, and then they cover the potato with the meat inside in bread, deep fry it, and then smother it in tomato sauce.
That Next. Is fucking sinful.
Next okay. question, dude. That shit is real, though.
Joey Gallagher asks, what's one meme you guys unexpectedly started that surprised you?
I'd say our entire YouTube channel.
I remember when you guys were making the Vape Nation video, you were pretty like...
That was, yeah.
So on it. You were like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, most definitely. That was very surprising.
Lay Murphy asks, what's the worst part about living in LA? And don't say the traffic.
The traffic is horrible here, man. Have you heard about the traffic here in LA? It's the worst.
Yeah, I'm going to tug my collar and tell you about the traffic.
I would say the fucking heat myself. The heat's pretty brutal here.
No, it's the price, to be honest. The price and the tax. You know, in California, you have to pay 10% tax on top of fucking government tax. I mean, people here are paying like over 40% tax. It's expensive. And besides that, it's fucking expensive.
Adam Medhurst asks, is there anything you regret making?
I wouldn't say regret, but there's some old stuff that's embarrassing that we've unlisted.
I think it's more just like, you know, it has time in its place rather than, you know, that, I mean, that's just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't, just from an outside perspective, I don't think you guys ever made a video and I was like, ooh, that's bad. It's always been like, okay.
The Harambee one got, I think, many people...
Yeah, that one rustled some feathers.
That one, yeah. Which is kind of... I mean, obviously it was a shit post, but we had made similar videos on Ethan and Hila that... I think it was just a tone thing. That was right when we combined our channels.
That's right. That was right. That was...
Yeah, the Harambee one. I mean, it wasn't a good video. It was just like a really dumb meme. That was like my out of touch with the young kids moment.
Gib50 asks, has there ever been a moment in any of your lives that you wish you could wipe from history? Jesus.
Christ, dude. What is this
Well, this guy has a sinful past. This guy has a...
What is this guy doing? That's like...
Gib50, fucking atone for your sins. I want you to go ahead. I want you to write up a list of the things you've done wrong.
Yeah, all the horrible things that you've never told anyone before. Write it
down.
And
I want you to tweet it at both Ethan and I. Yeah. Because you've done some fucked up shit, man. It's okay. This is the last question. This question comes from me, Ethan.
Oh, from you, from Zach.
Ethan, why are you such a dang cool guy? I hate to ask you that, but I've just been wondering all these years.
I don't know, dude.
That's all, folks. Unsubscribe from my channel. It's all downhill from here, folks. This is the best it's gonna get.
Hey, y'all, it's me, your favorite guy.
I'm just here to say thanks to, first of all, y'all for listening to this. My good friend Ethan H3H3 for dedicating some of his precious, beautiful time to fucking yap in my ear for a little bit. Hopefully make y'all laugh. Hopefully y'all had a good time. I also want to give a big special thanks, big shout out to my little crew that we got going on now. I'm, of course, talking about Jeff Delgado to start off with. Very talented guy. Painted the little images you saw of Ethan and I, the little caricatures. Very talented guy. If you're a rich mofo, I would suggest giving all of your money to Jeff Delgado and commissioning him if he so pleases. I'd also like to thank Alan Brown for composing the intro music. Greg Catterman for narrating it, and new special warning. New kid on the block, I'd like to give a special thanks to Alden. What the fuck is this guy's name? Let me look it up. This guy's name is like a riddle. Alden Chambers, also goes by Echo Chamber. Echo Robot. Anyways, he did the music you hear right now that's behind me. That's punctuating my fucking voice. I want to give a giant special thanks to all my patrons. Especially all those y'all who are donating, you know, something crazy like over $10. That's ridiculous. And everybody's questions that you heard near the end there were people who were paying over $25. So, special thanks to all of those guys. I'm going to name you guys by name. To all the schmucks, I'm talking about Johnny Anifal, Old Slamburger, Brandon Ruff, I'm Costalong, Mr. Chris Wood, Clock Watcher, Chris Mitchell, Pencil Shavings, and James McGuides. Thanks to all you guys. But wait, there's more. I'd also like to give a huge special thanks to all the bozos out there for the over $50 tier. I'm talking about Dean Hubbard, Rory Harding, Hobo Joe Pizza, Jace Baker, Classius Clay, Mini Lightheaded, Colbane Bonney, Isaac Perry. And to everyone else, I appreciate it. As per my Patreon, you're allowed to put a little ending message in here. If you want to, like, threaten the president or something, you get me arrested or confess your sins, you're allowed to do it here. Messages this week come from James McGuides. James McGuides says, "Can you call my mate Tyler an oxygen thief?" Hey, Tyler, buddy, I hate to tell you this, but you're a fucking oxygen thief, dude. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and put a bag around your neck, dude. I know you didn't tell me to say that part, but I felt like it was kind of implied. He actually attached a picture of this guy. This is the picture James attached. He attached this in the email to me. I don't know why you want this man to die, and I don't know why you gave me his social security and his address. And he said post this, but nobody attacked this man physically. Nobody do violence onto this man's life. The other message comes from Ois. I still can't tell if it's Ol or Oi Slamburger. I'm retarded, man. This is what it looks like on my screen. Is that Oi or Ol? I need consensus on this. I could probably just ask the guy, but I'm not going to. Okay, he says, imagine the noises little John would make if he were going Super Saiyan. Look, man, I don't know who the fuck little John is. He sounds like a little fairy tale character. Like a little pixie. That's not right. He's probably a rapper.
Bye! Bye.